It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 7. We're going to begin reading with verse 24, and then we'll be reading down into the 8th chapter of Romans. And so please open your Bibles. Hope that you can take time to do that now. And while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to call the church, it's 847-217, of course, 847-2717. And if you would like to visit our website, it's parkviewbiblechurch.org. parkviewbiblechurch.org. We've got many, many scripture verses, many Bible studies there. Our Constitution is there. The plan of salvation is there. Please don't miss it. parkviewbiblechurch.org. And if you'd like to email us, it's parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Whichever you'd prefer, it will be just fine. We love to hear from you and find out that it's a blessing, and please, it's, you know, we don't hound you at any time for response back and forth or anything. We just love to hear from you, and so please that you would let us know that you're enjoying the program and enjoying the study. We have many, many listeners, and we just thank and praise God for it. Now we'll begin reading Romans chapter 7. We're going to begin reading with the 24th verse. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemns sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Now we're going to stop there with that 9th verse today, and we'll begin the study, but we want to ask the Lord to bless it first. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you. I praise you for the opportunity to read your precious word, and I thank you for the radio and the ministries that we have enjoyed for so many years, and continue, Father, to bless it, please. Touch every heart that's listening, whether it be for salvation or whether it be for growth as they grow closer to you and be more like you. It's been such a blessing to serve you so many years and be able to use this outlet of the radio to proclaim your word, Father. Thank you for it. I just praise you for all the blessings and the wisdom and the knowledge that you give. Please continue to save souls. If, Father, anyone's listening today, I just ask that today be the day of salvation, that they'll trust in you as their Savior and they'll walk today with you, please. And then we'll begin that wonderful walk and life, and as the scripture says, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, and that's exactly right. The other is just death. There's no no life to it. And so, Father, please, take your words today and touch every heart. Bring them to the cross of Calvary and say, yes, I know you've died there and saved me. So please, come into my heart and save me. Just that be the prayer, Father. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We looked at this verse of Scripture here and the reference many times in this eighth chapter will cover it. So I wanted to go back to the 24th verse of the seventh chapter and read those words that Paul talked of here and spoke of, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. O wretched man that I am. This is a person in Paul that is a strong. He is a servant of God. He has given his life. He's been beaten. He's been stoned. And yet he recognizes that this sinful flesh, that statement, O wretched man that I am. You know, the law can deliver no man. It can't. And it's not because there's something wrong with the law. It's because the flesh is involved. We are delivered from the law by being dead in Christ to that which we understand and enjoy back in the sixth verse. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. What a joy to have the Word of God. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? The Apostle Paul here speaks of the body, and it's made reference to the law of sin that is present, which he had said was in his members, present. And he calls it the body of this death, as feeling as he wrote the horrors of that death into which it just continues to bring us down. We need to serve the living Savior. This is a weight that every believer has. And we need to understand that this burden can be lifted, and it is lifted as a believer. I'm talking only to believers, folks that have come by faith to the Lord Jesus. We need to understand that Jesus died on the cross to save us, to take our sin away. When he died, we died. We are dead to sin now. So we have that opportunity of salvation and power and strength. And I thank God through Jesus Christ, the scripture says here in verse 25. This is the answer to the question that brings despair to many people. And then he continues, he says, so then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. Paul delights in serving God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So Paul says, this problem with the two principles, these two characters that I have. God's holy law is dear to my mind, and he has made my mind new, and I have a new heart. And he is willing and anxious to serve with this new heart. He is a new man. But that corrupt nature, the old flesh, still remains. And the more we listen to that, the more in despair and discouraged we become. Many believers suffer loss because we have not learned to walk in the Spirit. That's what brings victory. Christ reigning in your heart, in your daily walk. That's what brings the victory. It is not the keeping of the law or trying to practice the law, but we are victorious over the world, the flesh, and the devil. We can never be victorious except through the power of the Holy Spirit that's within us. The Spirit of God draws us to God. He is the attending physician at our spiritual birth. I love that. I had read that's a comment that a man made. He is the attending physician at our spiritual birth. You know, there was a doctor, of course, years ago, you know, when my parents and grandparents were born, why, there may have been a doctor present, there may have not been a doctor present, but today, why, there seems to always be some good caretaker when a child is born, comes into this world, and comes out of the mother's womb, and we get to see that sweet, beautiful child. But the attending physician for our spiritual birth, of course, is the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. We are born of the Spirit. He baptizes us into the body of Christ when we accept Jesus by faith. Now, many have got that confused, because the fact there is that they add in the physical baptism, going down into the water, and we baptize what I call scripturally, because sprinkling is not baptism. That's something that has been brought about through all the years, and it's, I'm sorry to make it so clear, but it's a lie, and that's what it is. You know, if you want to call it a dedication, then call it a dedication of that child, but do not call it a baptism. And then you better baptize that child, that youngster, that adult, whenever they come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Always before you come by faith to Jesus, then you're baptized. But if you are not baptized, that doesn't mean you're not saved. You come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, you trust in Him as your Savior, and you are born again. The Spirit of God comes to live within you. So what is the reason for baptism? It's to show all of the outside world what's happened in your heart. That's the reason for the baptism. Go down into the water, it shows dying. It's the old self standing up there. And then go down into the water, it pictures the death with the Lord Jesus. And then coming up out of the water pictures the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. What a joy. What a joy to show folks. The Ethiopian eunuch said, "What hindereth me to be baptized?" And he asked him, "Do you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior?" And he called, and yes, he did. And so then they stopped the chariot and went down into the water. And so this sprinkling is not baptism, never has been, never will be. But thankfully, baptism is not salvation. And many churches have confused that. They have added baptism to salvation. You must be baptized to be saved. Well, you're baptized, all right, but it's baptized with the Spirit. It's not a physical baptism. Follow with a physical baptism to show other people what's happened in your heart. But the baptism that's talking about here, we are born of the Spirit. He baptizes us into the body of Christ when we accept Jesus by faith. That is not a literal baptism. That's a spiritual baptism. You are immersed in this. The Spirit of God comes and takes over your life. He seals us unto the day of redemption. What a great work that goes that continues here in this 25th verse of Romans chapter 7. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. It is the Holy Spirit of God who leads us in the path of victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. It is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, who leads us in the path of victory. And He leads from within us. When you become a child of God, you're born again. The Spirit of God comes to live within your heart. And he doesn't just come and abide and go on about the ways, the old ways. He is here to show us the way of victory. And again, I love that verse of Scripture over in the sixth verse, because he that is spiritually minded is life and peace, and that is truth. It's wonderful to see that verse. And he, the Spirit of God, leads us down this wonderful path of victory. And it's victory over the world, over the flesh, over the devil. Takes care of all of it. In the seventh chapter, we hear the believers crying, as we started a while ago, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me? O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" And we're going to find, that was in the seventh chapter, we're going to find the eighth chapter, we will see the victory. We will hear the victory. And we can move forward to the eighth chapter, to the verse 35. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or the sword?" Verse 37. "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." Victory. We're going to see the victory. It's been said that this is one of the most precious chapters in all of the Bible. It's said to be the close to the argument started clear back in chapter 3, verse 21. Now let's see what argument that might be. The question, the statement that was made back in Romans chapter 3, verse 21. "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith in Christ Jesus unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by the grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." Where is the boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid, yea. We establish the law. What verses of Scripture? The argument that was in place, they wanted to add to grace. They wanted to add to the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and believing by faith in the Lord Jesus that he died for your sins and took your sins away and rose again the third day. They wanted to add to that. That's not enough. Let's add the old law. And that's where the argument started. That's where the discussion started. That's the reason Paul is talking here. He needs to make the point and through this whole section, because we see in this that he begins to clearly teach us that the righteousness is by faith in the section we've just read. And if you come to the fourth chapter, we are taught that this gospel, this righteousness by faith, does not stand against or oppose anything of the Old Testament. It doesn't oppose the Old Testament. It is victory. It goes beyond that law, something we couldn't take care of. So we are taught that this gospel, this righteousness by faith, does not stand again. It doesn't oppose the law. It doesn't oppose the Old Testament. And then we find in chapter 5, we learn that this gospel, the righteousness received by the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are kept by the power of God through faith in the finished work of our Savior. So to begin with, in the third chapter there, what we read clearly teaches us that the righteousness is by faith and faith alone, grace. And then we find that this righteousness that is spoken of in the fourth chapter does not go against the law. The law is perfect. And then in the fifth chapter, why we see without question that this finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, when Jesus Christ died on the cross for us and rose again, that we are not only saved and forgiven of our sins when we come by faith to Him, but we are also kept by the power of God through faith because of this finished work. Now, the sixth chapter, as we work our way through, 3, 4, 5, now 6, shows that the sinful living is not produced nor encouraged by the gospel. It does teach that we are dead to sin and alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So the sixth chapter deals with that. And it clearly tells us that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we need to understand that the gospel gives us victory over this sinful life. Now, the seventh chapter, this divine nature, first back in the sixth chapter, finishes up that this being born again, this divine nature brings victory to every believer if we just come and surrender to Him. Now, in the seventh chapter, that tells that the believer's sanctification by the law is impossible. You see, they wanted to take the grace of God, that free gift of salvation, they wanted to add to it. Well, to add to it, to cleanse, to make a believer pure and perfect, cannot take place by keeping the law. It's impossible. So now in chapter 8, we learn that through the Holy Spirit, who indwells every believer, that's the power. That's where the power comes from to live a godly life. It comes from the Holy Spirit, but only as we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us day by day. That is the only way this joy and this victory will come. Now, we finally have gotten ourselves to the first verse of chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The original Greek reads this way, therefore, now there is not even one bit of condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Not one bit of condemnation. It is wonderful when a believer comes and understands the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of life and power. When the believer believes and releases the old flesh. They have the power for the first time. That indwelling Holy Spirit is the Spirit of life and peace, life and power. And I love, again, we've spoken many times, the carnal mind is death, but the spiritual mind To be spiritually minded is life and is peace. To learn the condemnation has been removed. That's a victory. Many people suffer much of their life wondering, am I saved? Am I not saved? Am I saved? Am I not saved? And they come back and forth and back and forth. To have this victory, to enjoy this victory, is wonderful. To understand that the condemnation, God no longer condemns us if we come by faith to Him, because we are in Him and we are kept by Him. Now, we are free from condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus, delivered from condemnation, the believer is absolutely and forever free from all condemnation. This is a result of believing the gospel, placing our trust in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. This faith that has been given us, given the believer, this faith is a believer, is righteousness. And it's not our righteousness, it's the righteousness of God. What a precious gift. God's own righteousness is imputed into the believer at the beginning of the Christian life. In other words, the day that you're born again. The day that you're born again, that is the day that you receive the righteousness, full righteousness of God. That's the reason there's no condemnation. This happens the very second the believer calls on the name of the Son of God, Jesus. That's when that happens. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's the key. Therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. This is not a condition for being saved, but a fact concerning one who has been saved, born again. Born again. The second verse begins, but after the Spirit, as the Scripture tells us. In verse 2 now, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Victory has been won. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. We're going to back up here with this second verse and third verse the next time we get together. But I want to read it again so that you can begin to think on these things and realize that when you come by faith to Jesus Christ, you are saved and you are saved forever. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemns sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walked on after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Again, it is not a matter of having your salvation and losing your salvation. Having your salvation and losing your salvation. No. You have salvation once you come by faith to Jesus. But if you want the victorious life and you want peace and joy in your life and power and victory and wisdom, then you surrender to the Spirit. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?